Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld, and this program is about the evolution of our consciousness and how we're opening up to greater possibilities of who we are. And for a long time, we thought things like intuition, psychic abilities, remote viewing, all these areas that are really part of consciousness were just like sort of accidents, freaks of nature. And we're now realizing it's really part of who we are as human beings, and we need to come into more of an acceptance and an openness and awareness that we are greater than our education and our culture has been telling us. And that's why I'm talking to tonight's guest, Vincent Jenna. He's an intuitive, a medium, a clairvoyant. He'll be speaking at the New Life Expo coming up in New York, October 25th to 27th at the New York Hotel. Welcome, Vincent, to the program.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me. It's wonderful to be here, Alan.
Well, I'm very interested in the kind of work you're doing and how you got into it. How would you describe how you work with your clients and what you do?
Oh, that's okay. That's a great question.
Okay.
I work with each client completely differently based on the client's need and what I'm sensing. So what I first do is the client is sitting in front of me, and I get an overall sense of what they're needing. Most clients are blocking themselves. And as with the average normal person, we block ourselves with some of our personal issues and beliefs. And so I get a sense of that. Then all of a sudden, it's like a family photograph. You know those old-fashioned wedding photographs that you see of your grandmother or maybe your parents? And everybody is lined up in the background, like straight and stiff and everything like that. You know, you look at them straight in a row, right? You've seen pictures like that, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. Well, literally, that's what winds up happening. The person sits in front of me. I start getting a feeling and a sense of what is blocking them and what has blocked them. And all of a sudden, all their guides that want to either talk with me or make themselves known appear behind the person like an old wedding picture. And then as I start opening myself up, all of a sudden, one at a time, those spirits come forward with a message. And it's not just a message of, oh, hi, honey, I love you, I miss you. By the way, the insurance policy that I hid is under the mattress, and if you find it there, I left you $100,000. No, that's not just what the message I get. The messages I receive then are to help this person in front of me remove his or her blockage so he or she can step into their full power. So it's not just about you're getting a car, you're getting a home. It's about you have a scar from your past that you are not dealing with, that you are ignoring, and you think you want a relationship, but you really don't, and that's the reason why you don't have one. So I get all of these messages, and I just come out with them. I trust them, get them not only from the smaller guides and deceased loved ones, then all of a sudden archangels, or what we call archangels, step forward and start giving me messages. And sometimes I even get it from the big gun, the big spirit source within this person and their soul trying to reach them. And that's how I wind up working on an individual basis. On a group basis, they just come to me, and whoever needs it the most winds up getting the message. So I see an entity, I hear a message, and all of a sudden I'm being guided towards a specific person in the audience to give them that message.
I get that.
So that's how it works.
I think I like that. Well, I have a couple of questions because I've seen lots of mediums, and there's some amazingly talented people out there. I mean, it is a talent. It's a skill. It's changed people's lives that I've seen who've had been able to complete past relationships. But a couple of questions that always come up. Are you actually reading the astral field, or are you reading the person's thought form, energetic possibilities that they have around them, you know?
Oh, God, Alan, I have no idea. No.
Okay.
No, seriously, no. You know what? When there's so many times that we could be tapping into their thought field or their desire, but this is how I know I'm tapping into the messages and the other side when I am linking. Most of the time, it's a pretty strong message and guidance that the person is not even thinking of. So
okay.
I don't give you the reading you want to hear. I give you the reading you need to hear.
All right.
Hey, and look, coming from New York, too, I tell it like it is. So I read the soul. Now, that's an interesting way of putting it, because there are things coming from our soul that is trying to get the message to us, so it is part of the thought field, right? So I'm reading what your soul is trying to tell me to get to your consciousness. So it may not be in your consciousness yet, but it is in your soul.
Right, because our relatives, these people who have passed, are not just hanging out waiting to talk to us, or maybe they are, but I'm sure they have other things to do. I mean, right? I mean, how does that work in the way you see it? I mean, are they always around us, or do they just show up?
No, they're following us constantly. We are never alone. It's not just when we ask. It's they are constantly around us. They guide us from, you know, when you're driving down the road and all of a sudden something makes you look to the right and you see a kid running across the street and you stop the car. You know, if you're on your way to work and something tells you, you know what, I feel like going this way to work this time. I haven't gone this way in a long time. And then you find out that there was a four-car accident on the road that you normally take.
But we have our own intuition as well about those things.
Oh, well, yeah, but where is intuition tapped into? What is intuition? Intuition is being tapped into the mind of God, where all knowledge, all information, and everyone is tapped into. So you're not just receiving messages from your own personal pool of energy, but your pool of energy is connected to all your guides and everyone else's pool of energy. It sometimes even is why we feel, we go into a party and there's a bunch of people there and we feel someone else's negativity. It's not our intuition alone. I think that person is negative. No, we're tapped into their pool of energy. And we're actually feeling it because we're all one, aren't we, Alan?
Wait. Hello?
Yes, Vincent? I'm here, yes.
Oh, no. Can you keep going with that a little bit about the intuition versus angels and all that? Because some people say our angels are talking to us, you know, in that way.
You're talking about being like our angels and all our guides and things like that?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, as far as...
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Can you hear me better now?
Yeah.
How about this? How about like that?
No.
Hello? Testing. Vincent, can you hear me?
Yeah, you're really far away. I can hardly hear you.
Wait, how's that? 1 second.
No.
How's that? No, like that? Do you hear
well,
me
if you
now?
Speak up louder, that's definitely that works.
Do you hear me now? Hello?
Yes, that's better.
Okay, so yeah, I just wanted to know the difference between that and the angelic realms, okay?
There's a hierarchy of guides. That's basically it. There's a hierarchy of spirit. There is the spirit, the earthly spirits, the ones who incarnated here, you, me, everybody else. When we pass on, we're of one level in our evolvement, and we've had karma created by being here on Earth. And we can to become a guide to someone who is still living here. Then there are the angels who may have had one lifetime here for a specific reason. So they've not created a karma, but they've had the experience of living here. Your archangels, or the big guns, they're the ones that have never incarnated here at all. They decided they were going to stay back. They'll spend all their time just evolving and watching and helping us. none of which... Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I mean, no, finish that sentence. None of which what?
None of which are allowed to interfere or intercede in any of our choices.
Mm-hmm. So all these beings exist at many levels of reality, and some people aren't, and the ones that have passed over, aren't they evolving? Why are they hanging around with us when they have their own personal spiritual evolution to go through?
Remember, not all of them become our guides. You're absolutely right. Everybody has their own thing to go through. But just like when we're over here, don't we have some people here that just feel responsible for the next person? Or like a mother. I have, you know, one of my clients, her mother is taking care of her daughter and her daughter's daughter, right? And so she feels the need to have to help her daughter out and help guide her, and her daughter is living with her instead of her daughter taking on her own life and moving on. Well, just because we get to the other side doesn't mean we change our personalities or our needs. We change our limitations and our knowledge. So personality and need is still in there until we continue to evolve. But you're right. The love, our loved ones shouldn't be hanging around. They should be moving on. But every time someone down here goes, oh, my gosh, I miss mom. I miss my husband. I wish he was around. That sends a message out to them, and it pulls them right back down to the earth.
I see.
So,
They respond to our callings in a way.
Yes.
I see.
They feel it.
But let me ask you another question. Was this something that just came to you, or can people learn it as well? Can you talk about your whole development in these areas?
All right. For my purpose, what happened to me was completely different than for everybody else. And everybody has the capacity of learning this because we're all intuitive. If you're in, your intuition taps you into everything. People actually see spirits today, even people who don't believe. They just don't know they're always seeing it. Maybe they chalk it off as you know, oh, that was just a reflection of light or just something in my eye, all right? Or they hear something. Oh, what was that? Who told me? Oh, no, that's nothing. And they chalk it off. So everybody has the capacity, and all you have to do is open yourself up and remove your blockages in order to expand your capacity. But for me, it happened like a Steven Spielberg movie, quite honestly. It all occurred. I was completely tormented in my childhood. I was abused by all my peers in school, you know, the shoved in lockers, peed on, spit on, beat up like you can't believe. And then when I got home, I had parents who were mentally disturbed and took their emotions out on me, and I was beat at home with belts, straps, pots, pans, you know, sticks, whatever they had in their hands. Then throw on top of that, I was sexually abused by a cousin of mine who babysat me until I was 13 years old, and I was sexually abused by the parish priest. So I had it all. All right.
Wow, what a resume you got there going.
I do have a resume of it, but I know now, Alan, that that was part of the choosing I did before I came here so that I can evolve and become the spiritual teacher that I am today. And the proof of that is the guy who caused most of my high school antagonism, all my antagonism in school, that one guy I hated the most when I was in school. At our 10-year high school reunion, I had just completed the movie Grease. I became a professional actor when I was very young. And I was in the movie Grease with John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John. So that gave me some
notoriety. Who did you play in that movie?
Right?
Who were you?
I was one of the dancers in the background. I was one of the featured dancers throughout the movie. I danced with John Travolta's sister. So I had a great experience doing that. And it's a wonderful story. I was 22 when I did that. So it was at the same time I was going to my high school reunion. So the guy who antagonized me the most became my dearest friend at the high school reunion. He hung around me. He hugged me as if he was apologizing, and everybody was treating me incredibly that had picked on me. It was unbelievable. He became the catalyst for my spiritual awakening. His life was falling apart.
That sounds like
the guy who picked on me the most.
What happened? Tell me that story, okay?
Okay. He was going through hell in his life, but he was also the guy who rented the Porsche to come to the reunion to impress everybody. So he hid. He put up a mask to hide his failing life behind. I felt through that mask and saw through that mask, but I had no idea how to help him. I had no idea what I could do to reach out to him. He wasn't talking to anybody about it, but I just knew his life was falling apart. Well, after a visit with him in Connecticut, I was on my way home. I was driving home. I was living on Long Island at the time, because I'm from New York. You know that, Alan.
Yeah, no, I'm from Long Island,
right.
Too.
There you go. And so on the way home, I was in tears with my wife. I was crying, going, I don't know what to do. You know, I don't know how to help him or people like him. And so I cried out to God to please help me. Give me the ability to help this man and to help others like him, because of the torment I had in my life. I know what that type of pain is. I know what he was hiding. And it was hurting him desperately. A week later, the most unbelievable, I call it the Steven Spielberg movie, because it was just like Poltergeist, with appearing apparitions and swirling smoke and psychics coming into my life that I never was involved with before, and trancing and voices coming out of people's mouths talking to me, and all this information coming into my head and telling me that I'm going to be the spiritual teacher and I'm not going to be this actor anymore.
Came out of nowhere? You had no background?
That came out of nowhere. It
no background in this at all. It was no...
Day after day after day, I had no knowledge of it. Alan, all I wanted all my life was an Academy Award. That's all I cared about in my life.
That's funny.
Until that day that I asked God to be able to help my friend.
And then
it was laid out before me.
Wow, and that, it sort of opened the door and brought you into a whole new world. How long ago was this?
This was 30 years ago. So I've been doing this for 30 years. But what's interesting, Alan, it didn't open up a new door. It opened up my purpose from the very beginning, because every piece of the puzzle fit into place after this occurred, including all my torment, even including my being a professional actor. That experience, I was 35 years. I've done musical theater. I've done movies. I've done television. That ability has given me the ability to talk in front of people, to do these powerful workshops, because I know how to touch a person's heart and reach their heart and then deliver the message. The message needs to get through to them, right? And
right.
So all of that taught me how to present and get through my message of self-belief and self-love.
I appreciate, everything you're talking about and doing and have done. But tell me then, in your workshops, do you teach people to do it? Because that's sort of what I'm interested in. I'm not so interested personally in going to a reader. I'm interested in my own experience. Is it possible?
Absolutely.
Yes. So
why you need to go to somebody like me.
Because why?
Because in order to develop your talent, you have to remove your blockage. So here it is. Imagine this. This is what I tell people. Liken ourselves like we're a garden hose, a regular garden hose outside, and we're attached to a spigot, and the water that's full blast on is the God force coming through us. All right. As long as that hose is uncoiled, nice and smooth, you can use the full force of that water to do anything you want with it. Wash the car, water your plants, take a shower, take a drink, I don't care. But if there is a kink anywhere in that hose, the force of that water slows down, or it can completely stop, right? You have that image?
Yes, I got it. I like it.
All right. So if any of your life has a kink in it, you can't open up to any of your gifts. Mm-hmm. So I work the same way with a person who wants prosperity. I work the same way with a person who wants new romance. I work the same way with a person who wants to become a psychic medium. Remove okay. your kink.
So how do you do that? I want to do all those things. How would you do that with me?
Great. That's actually my lecture that I'm doing at the New Life Expo in New York next week. It's
right.
called Stop Stopping Yourself and Become Unstoppable. We have to, number one, our blockage is our real belief about ourselves, not what we think we believe about ourselves. You create from your subconscious mind. You do not create from your conscious mind. You create with your beliefs, and your beliefs are in your subconscious mind. Our conscious mind has these thoughts all the time, right? But our thoughts feed our beliefs. So whatever you have in front of you in your life, whatever there is there that you love and there that you don't love, is all what you believe inside of you. So I call them the I'm not. The I'm nots are the beliefs we formed from childhood that we took from the environment, the messages we received from our parents, the environment, other adults, our experiences, and we form these I'm not. I'm not good enough. I'm not lovable. I'm not wonderful. I'm not deserving.
Right.
That
right.
I'm not has influenced your entire life because it's what's really getting in the way of our creating ability. And so we don't understand that, but our conscious mind only accounts for 2 to 5% of awareness. 2 to 5% of the human mind is in conscious awareness. That means 95 to 98% of the mind is subconscious and unconscious. We are holding so many things in there that we don't know we have in there. And
right.
it's what Eckhart Tolle calls the hidden beliefs. Those hidden beliefs are influencing us and blocking our natural creating ability. So you have to recognize it, and it's easy to recognize it. All you have to do is, you know the phrase, they push your button?
Yes.
Your button is the message you got as a child. It's your I'm not.
Well, how do I get in touch with that?
You know it. You know it's in there.
You know, in your childhood, you felt I'm not worthy. But once I realize, okay, I have a thing, I'm not good enough to have $1 million or something like that. How do I change that? So I'm in touch with it. What do I do about it?
I know. That's a question I get all the time. Then you play connect the dots. That's step one is recognizing that I'm not. Step two, play connect the dots. In other words, every time you have a negative feeling, every time something goes wrong in your life, what do? We have these adult defense mechanisms, and we blame the government, we blame the guy next door, we blame the selfish boss that won't give me the raise, we blame that idiot lover of ours who went off and had an affair with somebody else, right? We come up with all the defense mechanisms as to why everything has gone wrong in our life. If instead you take responsibility and you connect that negative feeling, that negative thought, that negative experience, right to your I'm not, wait a minute, it's me, it's my little Vinny, it's my little Alan inside that says I'm not good enough that caused that. Mm-hmm. Wow. That recognition alone begins to disempower the strength and the control that the I'm not had. And then just like every other little kid, you have children, Alan?
Not that I know of.
Oh. Okay. Well, let's make believe for a moment you did, because we all have nurturing. If you had a son or a daughter who came running home from school one day crying and saying to you, Daddy, nobody loves me in school. The teacher corrected me in one of the things I did, and I'm bad, and I'm stupid, and I'm never going to amount to anything, and your child was crying to you, you would hold him or her and say, no, that's wrong. You're wrong. You're wonderful. You're beautiful. You're magnificent. Right? Wouldn't you do that naturally with a child?
Of course. Of course. We're natural nurturers, all of us. Yes.
You don't do that with your own inner child. You ignore your inner child. But your inner child is saying to some level and some degree, I'm not good enough. I've trained myself so well.
Wait.
I hear that voice
out loud. Are you saying that I have to start to kind of, I mean, other people have said this in inner child work, that if I get in touch with that part of me that feels not good enough on the child level, because I think I've done that, and I think there's still more to go, probably, of
course. I know, it does feel that way. No, you know what's more to go?
What?
You've worked, and I've worked, and most of the people have worked through all our issues
right.
that are past, right?
Right,
but
I hope
what
so.
You're forgetting is the scar. The
okay,
scar
so what...
will always remain until we move on to the next life.
So what do we do about the scar in order to overcome the difficulties?
That's what I'm saying. I promise you this because I've seen it work over and over and over. If you don't ignore it, if you don't deny it, you just attribute everything negative to it, that's how you begin to disempower it and then reinforce what is true. I am magnificent. I am wonderful. We don't have to go through years of therapy. The problem is we do have years and years of this life as well as years and years of other lifetimes of habitual habits. So, Alan, it's not a matter of just, okay, so I've just done that work and I've connected to that little child and I recognize it, but it still won't go away. Of course not. You've got about probably 20 or 30 lifetimes of dealing with that.
So do you tune into that psychically when you're working with people?
Absolutely. I see everybody's I'm not when they're sitting in front of me. I see what their past is. I can tell. I used to be a hospice social worker, and while I was a psychic, right? So I'd be with the patient, and I see what they're dying of, and I immediately knew their childhood and their life stories.
Nice.
And what was great about that is it opened the door between me and the patient for some healing and some peace. And I helped to transition about 500 patients during the time that I was a hospice social worker.
Well, that's good. So that really evolved your work. But, I mean, as you sit with just a regular client and they're getting in touch with that part of them that doesn't feel like enough, or how do you facilitate? I mean, can you tune into me and facilitate my... You want to do something like that?
Oh, yeah. My greatest gift is I see the depth and the magnificence of who you are, and I let my clients and people see themselves through my eyes to start with. And then that's how I empower a person. I empower you. That's my goal. It's not to fix you. I empower you to do with your life and believe in yourself and see your magnificence. So you can fulfill your dreams and create the life you want. And sometimes it takes another person's belief in us and seeing who we really are to help ignite the flame within us. That's why we're here together, is to help each other in that way.
Well, do you want to tune in? If you want to, I'm open to having you tune in and seeing what you...
Oh, okay. You want me to tune in to you? No problem, Alan. Okay.
Sure,
all right,
Amy.
So, you know, I know, I'll say the obvious, you're doing incredible work because you've worked through so much of your past and your issues, and you've come here for that purpose. You know that, okay? And I'm sure your listeners by this point already know that. There is a level that you're meant to go to of a higher degree as soon as you're no longer afraid of your potential and power. When you were younger, I'm getting that in some way you were restrained from being big, from talking a lot, from standing out, from being really demonstrative. Some way or another, you kept receiving these messages that are pulling you back. I went through something similar. I was a talker, and so I used to get beat all the time because the teacher used to send a note home to mom saying Vinny was talking in class today again. Well, you know, how do you stop something? That's what I was meant to do, you know? Give me a book to read out loud. Don't punish me. But the same with you. You were restricted. So what I'm feeling in you is part of your I'm not. Your I'm not is definitely leaning towards the not good enough.
Right.
And not deserving. Not deserving.
Not deserving, and, yes. That really strikes a chord, yes.
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 Every time you get an inch close to even more success, you rebound, you pull back.
Okay, I don't want to do that anymore.
I know you don't. So just tell little Alan, I deserve greatness. First of all, don't feel bad about feeling great. Okay, people have the wrong understanding. You should go to my website and see my video on God and your ego are one. Ego is not what causes our problems. It's the lack of it that causes our problems. And
what is your website so people can go there and understand?
Yes.
What? Yes.
It's www.vincentgenna, and that's VincentGenna.com. And
okay.
I have a lecture that I do called God and your ego are one. You need to enhance your ego and feel great. We keep hearing this stuff about humility, right? And we're supposed to be humble and walk the earth quietly. No, we're not. One of our greatest spiritual leaders here, all he did was walk the earth going, I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the resurrection. I am the only way you can get to God. I mean,
right.
That is not somebody speaking quietly. But
I totally agree with you. We are ego-based, and we need to acknowledge who we are as human beings.
That's right. The other thing that Jesus did that was different, that made him humble, he said, I and my Father are one. I am the way and the truth and the light, and so are you.
Mm-hmm.
What I do, you can do, and even greater. So our role here, Alan, your role here is to shine your light and feel great in order to help other people feel as great. That's what you're afraid of.
Okay.
You
I want to do that. I really, really, really want to do that.
I know you want that. You want that with your conscious mind. Just acknowledge you fear it. Don't hide it. Don't hide
okay,
your
let me,
fear.
Let me see if I can find the fear. Okay, I can maybe see that I wasn't taught that I deserve that, and maybe I don't want to outshine other people. Okay, so once I acknowledge that, then what?
Okay, then reframe the thoughts and the belief, right? I said we create with our beliefs, and our thoughts feed our beliefs. So now you have to tell little Alan, you are magnificent. You are great. You are an unlimited, individualized expression of spirit, of the God force. And with that, you are here to create all you want and be all you want, and you deserve to be all you want.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
You need to keep repeating that more than you even repeat your name.
That I deserve to have all I want.
That's right. That you deserve it. That you are. Now, here's the hardest part for anyone. You are God.
Yes. I've been around this teaching for 30 years, and I totally get that part. I get that.
You get it. You get it. Yes, you get it mentally.
Mm-hmm.
We all get it mentally. Well, most of us get it mentally. There are some that, you know, don't believe that at all.
Right.
But to switch it from our head to our heart, that 8 inches distance is the greatest distance on the face of the earth. And it's the hardest distance to connect. And the proof that it stays in your head is it's not created in your world.
Okay. How would it? What would it look like if it was created in my world? How would I...
Oh, my. Well, imagine it. What would you like it to look like? Tell me. You tell me now.
Thank you for asking that. Thank you, because it does put the creation back, you know, happy, abundant, loving, successful, creative.
But what's success to you? You're successful now, so what's success to you?
Success to me is having more money,
having more money,
that's successful, sure. A great relationship that really is uplifting. A popular show that's listened to by everyone around the world. Things like that.
Excellent. Excellent. Give it more detail, because you have a small amount of that now. You need to give it as much detail as you want to have.
I'm
reaching millions of people daily. The message is helping them change their lives. I have a relationship that we're not only intimate, we share the same feelings. We can talk with each other. We grow together. We feel strong together when we're around each other. We laugh with each other. Give it the details of what you want. And here's the thing. Your human mind can never, ever, ever imagine or create a dream that you are incapable of achieving. Because we are unlimited.
Yes.
And we have no idea of our capacity. We just fear it. We fear it. And all you have to do... Did you ever play the game Tetris on the video?
Tetris?
Remember that game?
No. Tell me about
it. Okay, I'll remind you. It's colored blocks fall from above the screen, the top of the screen. Mm-hmm. And your job... On the bottom of the screen is you can move the blocks back and forth as they fall. As soon as you align five of the same color block in a row, they disappear off the screen. If you don't align them, your entire screen fills up, and when the screen fills up, the game is over. Okay?
Okay, I got it.
Gotcha. Every time you connect the dots of what you're not achieving to your I'm not, you disempower it. Keep disempowering it, keep going, and you'll eventually clear all of the blocks. All of them. But you've got to keep doing it consistently. You've got to walk your talk every day. You've got to be congruent by doing it every day. And you've got to commit to yourself, because you believe wholeheartedly. Look, You can tell, you say, I know what you're doing, and I know you're really doing great work, and I know you're speaking for a lot of the listeners, but how many people do you know try a diet, after 10 days, they're off the diet? They start the gym, after a month, forget it, they don't go to the gym anymore. They try to stop smoking, forget it. They're trying to eat healthy, forget it. After a little while, it doesn't work, right?
Right.
Well, you can't turn around and say, well, I keep trying all of these things, and it's not working. No, you're not. You're giving up on yourself. You're just attempting them. You're not doing them. What I'm talking about is the work you need to commit to for the rest of your life. You.
Wait, once I achieve a level of success, do I still have to be doing it?
You have to do it until you're in the next life, and that's not so bad, because that's only 80 or 90 years in this lifetime. Yes.
Well, but once I achieve something, you're saying I still have to do it, even though I'm okay. If it works,
it's because
it works.
We're scarred. Now, we're the ones who set it up this way. Let's talk about it when we're on the other side and see if we can change the way we have to do it when we come back again. But right now, Jesus said, live in the world, not of the world. Meaning, you set up the game plan, you got to play the game. You don't have to play like everybody else, but you still have to play the game. We set it up to go through this karmic stuff. Okay, another way of saying this. A kid coming out of high school, and he has in mind a degree that he wants to go to college. All right? He wants to become an accountant. He wants to become a doctor. And so he looks and he researches. He sees all the classes he needs to take. Now, meantime, he's going, oh, my God, I hate chemistry, but I got to get through that. That's going to kick me in the butt. Okay, I'll do that. But you know what? Not just am I going to major in biology, I'm going to double major. I'm going to do law, too, all right, because I'm good enough. I can do that, right? And then we take on all these classes. Then he starts school, and the classes are kicking him in the butt. And he's going, oh, my God, I can't handle all of this. And sometimes he drops out. He drops a class. He may even drop out of school altogether. If we do that as limited human beings, can you imagine when we're on the other side and we're putting together our new life and we're feeling completely unlimited because we know we are, can you imagine the choices we make and the things we decide to take on because of the degree we want and the evolvement we want?
Let me see if I can integrate that. So you're saying we build our next life on the other side with challenges that will evolve us.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Abraham Hicks put it another way. You know, Esther's Abraham, all the books that they've written. He said to a gentleman who asked him at a lecture, gentleman asked him, if dogs are supposed to be so smart, why do they continue to drive right in a car with their heads out the windows only to get debris and wind blowing in their faces? And Abraham said, sir, you asked the smartest and the wisest question of the evening.
Wait. Can you repeat that question? I want to take that in.
Here's the question. The guy was trying to be a wise guy. And so he asked Abraham, if dogs are supposed to be so intelligent, why do they continue to ride in cars with their heads out the window only to get debris and wind blowing in their faces?
Okay.
And Abraham said, you asked the wisest and the smartest question of the evening.
Okay.
They do it because the exhilaration is so great.
Okay.
So in other words, we come here and take on all this crap because the exhilaration of evolving from it feels so incredible. And use yourself as an example, Alan. You know some of the crap you've been through in your life. Turn around and look at yourself right now, this very moment, in how far you've come, in the successful radio show you do have, in the respect and the love and the admiration you do have from other people. Doesn't that feel great from where you started?
Yes, it does feel great. Absolutely. No, I'm very happy with how everything's
exactly. Unfolding. That's why we take it on, and that's why we make it harder and harder, because we're trying to evolve. But
yes.
We need to learn. You don't need to keep burdening yourself in order to evolve.
Okay, that's the key question. Because what you said reminds me of that great John F. Kennedy quote about why we go to the moon, why we're sending men to the moon, not because it's easy, but because it's hard. And in that development, so many things we'll learn that we haven't expected to learn. So So the thing that you're saying then, we want to keep it hard, but then, you know, we don't want to stay stuck. So there's those two sides of that same sort of situation.
Yes. It's because we've gotten into a habit. It's called, we're hooked on two different words, restitution versus retribution. Restitution
okay, explain
means,
it, yes.
All right. Restitution is the understanding that you've made a lower choice. Okay, I said something nasty that really hurt him. That wasn't really a good choice. Okay. Retribution. Okay, he hurt me. I got to hurt him back. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Well, we do that with ourselves, too. You know how kids, adults, they're horsing around, they're friends, they're horsing around and one accidentally hurts the other one. right? You've
yes.
seen that? Okay,
yes.
Well, the one who hurts the other one turns around and says, go ahead, punch me in the face, punch me in the arm, it'll make you feel better, punch me back. Right? We do that? Well, that's a dumb thing to do. And that's exactly what we do in our own lives. We leave here having made some mistakes. Okay, so we made some lower choices. We're over on the other side. And instead of forgiving ourselves for it, instead of letting it go, we turn around and say, no, the only way I can make it up is, you know what, I got to go back down to earth there and I got to be beat up. I got to be shot, okay? You know what, run me over with your car because I got to make up for the time that I hurt you.
That's karma.
And we take on all of these crappy lessons when we never, ever had to continue it.
Right.
And so we're perpetuating the negative.
All right, so how do we... So what's the difference between that and also giving ourselves the time, the hard time, to achieve the things we want to achieve? You know what I'm saying? There's those two polarities. I mean,
it's actually the same thing. It's just a different form of it. So in other words, if we feel we need to put ourselves through hell, hey, look, we even formed a religion. Look, I love Buddhism. But one of the things that one of the tenets in Buddhism is that you grow and learn from suffering. And one of the reasons why they developed that into the religion is because at the time, the people who were developing Buddhism and Buddha were going through some real horrible times back then. And so a lot of religions have formed from hard times that people have gone through in order to help answer and make it easier to go through the hard times. So we've even taken on concepts that you grow from suffering.
Right, no pain, no gain.
Right, well, oh my God, go to the gym. Oh my, you should see me when I go to the gym. I start feeling any strain whatsoever, I stop. Do you know what? It may take me a little bit longer to develop my muscles, but I feel no pain, I don't get sore the next day, and I'm able to go back to the gym while the other guy's sitting at home putting heat on his arms.
Right.
And we do that in our lives. We say, what are some of the beliefs we have about gaining money? You got to work hard in order to gain money, all right? We're not going to be famous like people like Wayne Dyer or Oprah Winfrey, because I didn't do anything special. You know, I didn't work hard enough. I didn't go through the thing like she went through, okay? And so we limit ourselves based on these unbelievable beliefs, and that's why we perpetuate this stuff. We are all entitled to be as famous, as rich, as healthy as we want to be. Will we ever be? I don't know, Alan. I don't know. Definitely not in my lifetime.
Right.
I know it's going to take a few more lifetimes for us to learn that.
Well, but, all right, so I understand it. I understand what you're saying. It is a lifetime worth of work and development, and we're here to keep, and I think we are making progress. So, how's, you know, where are we all going collectively? Can you talk about the bigger picture of things?
The bigger picture is we just made, just so that everybody understands, there was this whole hullabaloo about the Mayan calendar in December 21st of 2012. Well, that date actually occurred, and a shift actually occurred. And if you look at the history of mankind, there have been time periods of new belief systems that were taking over, whether it would be political belief system that was running our lives, then it was a religious belief system, then it was evolutionary belief system. We're in a new thought period. We're in a new consciousness. The new consciousness is we must now acknowledge our spiritualness. We can no longer get by as just bodies here on earth achieving things. That's why there was the financial crisis. Everybody lost their jobs because they didn't want those jobs anyway. They weren't happy with them. The people who are happy with their jobs and love them, they didn't lose them. Only the ones who weren't completely unfulfilled by them. Then all of a sudden, they started going after some of their entrepreneurial ideas. You know, I always wanted to be a painter. I'm going to start painting as long as I've not been working for 3 years. And now all of a sudden, they're becoming successful. The shift is we have to add the spiritual part of our lives in order to heal ourselves and exist here. That's where we're going collectively. More people are seeking out psychics and mediums. I mean, the reason why the Long Island Medium has become famous and all these expos are become, I'm speaking all over the country, and thousands of people are coming to these body, mind, spirit expos and going to the Hay House, I Can Do It, and Celebrate Your Life, because they know they're more than.
Where are you living? Are you in New York?
I'm going to be in New York. I'm in North Carolina.
Oh, you're in North Carolina. Oh, okay, yes, okay. So, yes, you're right. There's a big renaissance of, there's a great renaissance of psychic activity or understanding. Yes.
Yes. It's our soul is waking up, and here's what's happening. Now, here's the unfortunate part to it, which is really fortunate, but the way people define it. In order for the shift to occur and we start to recognize our spiritualness, the universe, which is composed of us, the God force within us, everything, all of us, okay, is rattling us, kind of like panning for gold. If you can imagine, an old miner takes his pan, he scoops up some water and sand from the riverbed, and he's shaking it back and forth, and the gold nuggets are rising to the surface. Well, the universe is taking the same type of pan, scooping up our entire essence and existence, it's shaking it, and the gold nuggets, our soul is dropping out the bottom, and it's leaving at the top all the residue so that we can toss it. So everybody's residue is now rising to the surface, and that's why they're, what they're being afraid of. I've got 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, 70-year-olds telling me out of the clear blue, all they're thinking about is their past, their childhood, the issues that they used to have. They don't understand why that's all surfacing again. It's being brought to the surface because it's the only way to heal. And that circle conversation, that's what we started this conversation about. You've got to acknowledge the scars inside of you because they've created the residue, and it's coming to the surface for everybody.
Can you give me the big picture of what the planet will look like when we leave that?
Well, do you want what it could look like? Because that's totally different than what it will look like.
I want what it could look like and what it will look like. What it will look like and what it could look like. Give it to me. Yeah, give us the whole overview.
What is your imagination of what heaven is?
My imagination is, peace and harmony and joy, all that.
Okay, losing you. I can't hear you there. Say it again. What's heaven to you?
It is the peace within oneself, sharing that with others as well.
Right, and there's peace and harmony, and you're feeling the love of who you are, and on a daily basis it gets greater, and you share that with each other, right? Okay.
Exactly.
Well, Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is within you. And it's here and now. What we can experience in our thought of heaven is exactly what we can experience here and thrive and be prosperous. Deepak Chopra even said it's not necessary for your body to die if you don't want.
I totally agree with that. I totally agree. And I think.
But now, what will it look like? We're still babies. Let's put it this way. Our brothers and sisters from other universes still have to sneak here in order to help us. Otherwise, we'd freak out.
That's a good way of putting it. I talk a lot about UFOs and ETs. And what do you
think? Oh, please. Einstein said it. He knew. He said, in order to escape your universe, you must absolutely have spiritual understanding and concepts. You must be evolved. So they're not monsters, but the council, whoever the council is, of whoever helps to decide, okay, what we should do and what we shouldn't do, because it's kind of like a council that does that. They limited our brothers and sisters coming here to help us because they said, wait. You all had your chance to evolve and stand and fall. You must give them the same equal chance. Because it's only in your standing that you recognize your own greatness.
All right. No, I think you're onto something, and this is the kind of stuff I want to focus on more. Just tell me a little bit more about what you think about these ETs that are coming and going here.
I'm sorry, about the what?
You know, the beings that have to sneak in and out of our consciousness.
Oh,
in order to help.
Yeah, they're seeing our desperate need here for help. I mean, we are dying of, we're creating new diseases on a daily basis. I mean, children are dying of diseases that they don't need to be dying from. And our beings, our brothers and sisters from other lifetimes, understand that. We not to sound negative, but we are hurting ourselves. And we're hurting each other. And we're dying soon. And we're not experiencing all our greatness. Now, yeah, there are people, and a shift has been made, and there's always hope. I'm not speaking this negative thing here. Everybody thinks that the destruction of the Earth is horrible and we're gone. Well, that's just one toy that would be destroyed, but there's plenty of other toys because we're unlimited beings, and God created unlimitedness. But it's sad, okay?
Yeah.
But we have to acknowledge it's sad, and suffering hurts. And so our brothers and sisters that are advanced are really trying to help us learn how not to suffer so much.
Right, right.
You
no,
know,
I agree. Yes, yes, yes.
Right? Working in hospice and having the belief I have, which is the way I'm able to was able to work in hospice, I know there's no death. My own parents died here that I took care of. I built this home, and even though they tormented me, I moved them in and helped them transition. I missed them, right? But I know that they were, that the life was going on, but they didn't have to live the way they lived. They didn't have to live in torment. They didn't get a chance to enjoy my children. They didn't get a chance to enjoy my grandchildren because of the life they chose to have instead, okay? Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm sad for. And I hope that on the other side, they're learning enough, that they get enough guidance, that if they choose to do it again, they do it so that they can experience their wonderfulness, their magnificence, their greatness, rather than to stay here a tormenting life. That's completely unnecessary. I'm sorry. I know we can grow from it. I'm not disputing that. But I'm disputing the need for it. We
Thank
don't
you.
Need to grow that way.
Okay, I think we're almost out of time here. I just, I appreciate, you know, your enthusiasm and your dedication to the revelation of spirit, if you want to call it that. One of the things I really got from this interview is how our subconscious mind is always overriding what our conscious beliefs and what we want, and to get to the root of it, we have to keep digging at it. Would you say that?
That's right.
And then we get freer and freer, and it's a process.
That's right. Absolutely. And I appreciate the work that you've done and what you've opened up for others to be able to share that message, Alan. You're a catalyst. You're a great catalyst.
Thank you. I appreciate, yes, Vincent, talking to you. Tell people your website and then how to find you, at the expo and all that.
Okay. Again, my website is www.vincentjenna.com. As a matter of fact, any of your listeners who come and they sign up for my newsletter and to keep in touch with me, they'll get an actual free audio of God and Your Ego Are One. And then they can also sign up on my Facebook page and interact with me. I speak with my people who follow me on Facebook. And I will be again at the New Life Expo in New York. I'll be there actually this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, October 26th, 27th, 28th, and doing readings, and then actually doing two lectures on Saturday at 3 and 6 p.m. So please stop by, say, you know, tell me that you've seen me, say hello, and for everybody who's listened, who comes and tells me at their booth, I'll give you 10% off a reading. So you just to validate the your listening to such great work. So
well, thank you.
Find me and keep up with me.
Yes, so if you're listening to this program, if you heard about Vincent, Jenna, on this program, New Realities, go to him at the expo and say, I heard you, and he'll give you 10% off. And I'll also be speaking at the expo. I'm hosting the sexuality panel. I'm speaking about New Realities. I think that's all on Sunday. But the New Yorker Hotel is that's hosting this event. Is at 8th Avenue and 34th Street in Manhattan. So look forward to seeing everybody there as well. Thank you, Vincent. Your website again?
Is www.vincentjenna.com. And thank you so much, Alan. I look forward to seeing you next week.
Thanks. Good to talk to you.
Okay. Bye-bye.